Chapter 18. The Murder Gene, Redux. One Tuesday morning near summer's end, Laurie and I sat in Dr. Vogel's office for our weekly meeting under the eyes of those howling African masks. The session had not begun. We were still settling ourselves in our familiar chairs, making ritualistic comments about the warm weather outside, Laurie shivering a little in the air conditioning, when the doctor announced, "Andy, I have to tell you, I think this is going to be a difficult hour for you."
"Yeah, why is that?"
"We need to talk about some of the biological issues involved in this case, the genetics."
She hesitated.
Dr. Vogel studiously maintained an impassive expression during our sessions, presumably to keep her own emotions from influencing ours. But this time her mouth and jaw clenched visibly. "And I need to take a DNA sample from you. It's just a quick swab of your mouth, no needles, nothing intrusive. I just use a sterile Q-tip to wipe your gums and take a sample of your saliva."
"A DNA sample?
You've got to be kidding me. I thought we were going to exclude all that."
"Andy, look, I'm a doctor, not a lawyer. I can't tell you what's going to be allowed into evidence or what will be excluded. That's between you and Jonathan. What I can tell you is that behavioral genetics, and by that I mean the science of how behavior is influenced by our genes, cuts two ways. The prosecution may want to introduce this sort of evidence to show that Jacob is violent by nature, a born killer, because obviously it makes it more likely that Jacob committed this murder. But we may want to introduce it too. If it gets to the point where the DA has likely proven Jacob actually killed this boy, I'm saying if, I'm not predicting, I'm not saying this is what I believe, just if. Then we may want to bring in the genetic evidence as mitigation."
Laurie said, "Mitigation?"
I explained, "To reduce it from first-degree homicide to second, or manslaughter."
Laurie winced. The technical terms were discouraging, a reminder of how efficiently the system worked. A courthouse is a factory, sorting violence into a taxonomy of crimes, processing suspects into criminals. I was discouraged, too. The lawyer in me knew, instantly, the calculation Jonathan was making. Like a general preparing for battle, he was planning his fallback positions, a controlled, tactical retreat. I told my son's mother in a gentle tone, "First degree is life without parole. It's a mandatory sentence. The judge has no discretion. With second degree, Jake would be parole eligible in 20 years. He'd only be 34. He'd still have a whole life ahead of him.